this meeting order, 6:59, if that's okay.
Yep.
Let's see, roll call.
Olivia Anderson.
Kim Sly.
Helen Burns.
Pat Mike. Pat Johnson via phone.
Okay. All right, can we do the Pledge of Allegiance? Kurt, would you lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Has everybody had a chance to look at the agenda?
Yep.
Motion to approve.
Kim Sly make a motion to approve.
Doug Martin, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, number three, approval of 21 May 2026 board meeting minutes. I think that was one we got a little late last month, so everybody get a chance to look them over and.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Motion to accept them.
Doug Martin, motion to accept.
Kim Sly, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Let's see here. Did everybody get a chance to look at the 18 June 2026 board meeting minutes? That was last month.
Yes.
Okay. Make a motion to approve it.
Kim Sly, motion to approve.
Doug Martin, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Okay, number five would be the treasurer's report. Pat?
Hold on.
Pat, can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay, all right, we can hear you now. Okay.
All right, good.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Pat Johnson, Treasurer. I have the financial reports from the month ending June 30th. These are also the results of the second quarter of operations for our calendar and fiscal year 2026. I believe Doug will have up on the screen the statement of financial position. These are the balances of cash, assets, and liabilities and equity as of the 30th of June. You will see that in our operations checking account, there is $123,052. The money market operating reserve, we hold this in reserve for emergencies of $20,626. There is a money market reserve for capital funds, which are the obligations we have under long-term leases for the remainder of the year at $33,274. So you will also note, skipping down the line, accounts receivable of $287,341.15. That represents the 2026 and prior year fees that remain unpaid, which are a relatively small amount, and the invoices completed and submitted to the Department of Natural Resources for which we have not yet been paid. Moving down another couple lines, the total of fixed assets, those are the building, the vehicles, the hardware, furnishings. That shows that we have, as a total, for assets, $1,793,778. On the liability side, the first number of note is the, we have two credit cards that are used by the Wildland firefighters. They are the Zions Bank credit cards has a current balance of $8,994. The RAMP credit card used primarily for fuel of $6,931. Those are always paid off monthly. The balances are zeroed every month. We incur no interest charge on that. The next item is the Affinity HR line of credit. This is the credit instrument that we use to fund the gap between the expenses that we have to pay for deployments and when we receive payment for them. As of the 30th of June, that balance was $178,748. You will see then that there are some other minor amounts, $2,451 for other current liabilities, showing a total of current liabilities, $203,842. The total for liabilities, $578,585. Leaves us with a net equity of position of positive $1,215,192. That is an increase in net asset value of approximately $90,000 from the month prior. Any questions from the board on the statement of financial position?
Alan Burns, no, I don't see any questions. Anybody else?
Pat, do you know what our current Affinity HR liability is? Losing again? Keeps doing that.
Kim?
Sorry, yeah, we got you. Yeah, I don't know why we lost you. Go ahead.
Okay. The answer is it is significantly more than that. What has happened today is that we have received receivables checks or invoices from the Department of Natural Resources for $251,000.
Today?
A portion of that is going to be applied against the outstanding balance on the current balance of the receivables. And Kim, so I can't give you that exact number right now because it'll probably be into tomorrow when Hunter Wolf and I are sit down with Michael May and Teresa and make that allocation.
Sure.
I will be able to give you that number, but I don't have it this today because we just made that deposit into our account as of today.
So we did get some checks in. Good. Okay.
Thanks. Yes. Mm-hmm. Other questions?
Nope, I think we're all good on that, Pat. Thank you.
Okay, then if you could, Doug, if you could put the next slide up. This is the statement of activity, or the income statement. This is a year-to-date statement, January through June, representing half of our fiscal year. There are some numbers here, and I'm going to make some comparisons here that will hopefully give the board a sense of the trends that we're seeing. Okay? If you look in that, it's basically a matrix of numbers. If you will look at the intersection of operations and total for expenditure, you will see $596,623. That is the expense that is for operations. That's for keeping the station open, everything that's associated with that, and providing 24/7 365 coverage for our residents. That's the expense to date, half the year. Okay. The next column over is REMS. If you look at the number at the bottom, the net revenue from REMS, less expenses, to date, is $177,323. The next column over is wildland. That is the revenue, less expenses for wildland. REMS and wildland income and expenses is accounted for separately from operational income. You will notice the number on the bottom right, $77,935. That represents the net increase gain, if you will, for the year. That is up over $90,000 from the negative $20,000 that we had the month prior. So that in itself is trending in the right direction. What I'd like to do is call the board's attention just to a summary of these numbers. And the numbers will not be exact, but I think we can draw some trends and indications from them. If you look at the operational expense of $596,623, that's what we've spent on operations through half of the year. If you multiply that by two, because we could expect to incur that much additional expense to the end of 2026, that's approximately $1,193,000. Okay. If you subtract out the fees that are charged to the residents, and you would see that as operational revenue, the first number under operations, $274,119. That would show the difference between those two numbers, $919,000. That is the difference between the revenue that is received from fees and the operational expenses to provide the services at the level we're providing. So the question then becomes, well, how do we cover those expenses? And there are two basic methods that could be done. One is we could look to the residents to make up that difference, which nobody is in favor of. Or we could employ revenue-generating means, which is our deployments. Okay? So the answer is, where does the money come from that makes up the operational deficit? The answer is is our revenue programs, the wildlife and the REMS. So far, the net amount to date, this is 6 months, shows $77,935 to the plus. I expect that trend to show increasing through the remainder of the year. And that's the summary. Questions from the board?
Any questions? Nope, we're all good. Thank you, Pat.
Okay, I hope I didn't baffle anybody. The intent was to show that we're in a good, strong financial picture.
Right.
And we are trending in the right direction.
Yep. Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay. There is one, Mr. Chairman, there's one other item I'd like to mention in relation to the treasurer's responsibilities, and that has to do with insurance. I'm holding in my hand just a summary from the My Trust, which is a state-sponsored Utah local government's trust, which carries our insurance. We have been renewed for our auto, liability, property, and workman's comp insurance. There was communication and letters to the board under the date of the 23rd of June showing the options for renewal. We elected to retain at a slight increase in premium, about $1,500, the $5 million limits for liability and our coverage. The total premium for our annual insurance will be $22,769. That will be due sometime in August, I am told. At this point, the state hasn't even sent us out an invoice yet. So that is the insurance summary. We are covered, we are renewed. The vehicles are covered. We're just waiting for a bill from the state.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep. Very good.
Can we delay payment 2 months like this?
Okay. Let's see. Thanks for the treasurer's report there, Pat. The next item, number six, is review update the payroll line of credit.
Thank you. We have had to cover the shortfall or the gap, if you will, between the when we're able to, when we complete a deployment, we're not able to invoice the state Department of Natural Resources until we have actually completed a 14-day deployment, and sometimes there's an extension on top of that. At the end of that 14-day period, we, the DBFR, are obligated to pay wages and other expenses to our firefighters whom we have deployed. So we have to pay that. That creates not a debt in the sense that we don't have revenue that we're borrowing to cover, you know, a dearth of revenue. It's we have to have operating funds to cover our timely obligations. We have had that at provided very graciously and at a favorable rate of 6% interest by Affinity HR. As Teresa Hunter and I have sat down and looked at that, we can see that there's going to be a blip past $300,000, and it's likely to occur soon. Teresa and Affinity has very graciously offered to increase our line of credit from $300,000 to $450,000 at basically the same terms. And I have sent previously to the board an amended agreement dated the 16th of July, that is today. This is submitted to the board with a request to approve it and approval via resolution. This is any questions from the board regarding the line of credit and the requested increase?
Pat, do you know what our current accounts receivable are from DNR?
Yes, Kim, and I do, and you should, the board should also, because within the last couple of days, I sent that to you in a summary. Okay?
Yeah, I saw it. We received it.
Yeah, I got a copy of it here, too, I think.
So okay. This 660 doesn't include the 250, so minus the 250.
So we're
looking at approximately $400,000 in accounts receivable, 400 and some change. Yeah.
That is correct, and that does not include the current deployments. The five units that are out right now, right. Those are not included in the receivables because we've not been able to bill.
Right.
So I would guess that there's at least another couple hundred thousand there.
Right.
So we're looking at, you know, probably at least 600,000 in accounts receivable by the end of the month. Okay.
Yes, sir. I would say that that's accurate.
Well, it looks like they're coming in. They got a scheduled time period of when they're expected to come through. So.
Yes, And I received that, I believe the entire board is on that distribution list. So each board member should see that list as soon as I see it.
Right. Yep.
I just wanted to do it for public knowledge.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So I have a copy of the resolution here that we all need to sign. I should probably pass that around.
Yes, that has been, Mr. Chairman, that has also been distributed for the board's review. You should have seen that. When you're ready for a motion for resolution, I'd be prepared to make that.
Okay. Yeah, everybody's seen it, and I guess I could make a motion to accept this resolution for the $450,000 credit limit. Raised from $300,000 to $450,000. I guess I have a motion on that.
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Aye.
Nay.
Okay. Four ayes, one nay. Okay. So we'll.
Mr. Chairman, can we have a roll call vote on that, please?
Sure. Let's have a roll call vote.
Olivia Anderson, nay.
Tim Slight, yay.
Alan Burns, yay.
Doug Markham, yay.
Pat Johnson, yay.
Okay. Okay. I guess it passes. All right, let's see here. Well, and then the next item is discuss vote approved draws on the payroll line of credit to $400,000.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, with the approval of the resolution, I would propose to the board that the present approved draw ceiling that we have previously approved of $300,000 be increased to $400,000. This will allow the operation cycle to proceed without going back to the board for incremental limits. I'm not asking for the full limit of the PLOC at this time, but I'm requesting an increase to $400,000.
Okay. I'll agree with that motion to draw up to $400,000 at this point. Do you need another?
Kim, one second. Okay.
I guess you got your approval then. Was it two members you needed, right?
Yes, I would. I would like to have the board weigh in on this with a roll call vote, please.
Okay. All right.
Olivia Anderson, nay.
Kim Slight, yay.
Alan Burns, yay.
Doug Marco, yay.
Pat Johnson, yay.
Okay. All right, 4-1. Okay. Let's see. Next item is number 9. Update on the policies and procedure manual resolution. That's Doug.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, could I interrupt for just a moment?
Sure.
I'm attending remotely, and I skipped out of a wedding party.
Right.
Here, I'd like to excuse myself at this point. There remains four members of the board present, one more than's required for a quorum. If there's any questions or anything for me, I'd be happy to respond to them at this time, or written questions from the board, of course. But unless there's anything that requires my involvement further in this meeting, I would ask to be excused.
Okay. Any other questions for Pat while he's here? Nope. Okay, we're all good. Pat, enjoy your evening.
Thank you, board. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Pat, for being here. Yep. Good night. Okay. How's it been going?
Oh, I'm actually going over it right now, and I'm going to go ahead and give a portion to each board member to go over to.
Okay.
Review, and then we can all get together on it and figure out what we want to add or subtract.
Well, the only time we can all get together is at a board meeting, but maybe we could just one-on-one get together and then switch things around. Yeah.
Sure.
But then, so that we all kind of have the chance to talk to each other. It's not just me and you and Al and Kim or something.
Okay. So maybe I'll reach out to you.
Like once a week we can.
Okay. All right, good. Yeah, I'm working on that right now.
Okay.
Okay. All right, very good. I'll look forward to emails or whatever.
Yeah, no, we'll do it that way.
Yeah.
Sure. Very good emails.
Okay, number 10, member of the month.
Right. I'm going to kind of combine 10, 11, 12.
Okay.
Today's my 21st birthday.
I'm
57. And my wife wants to have dinner. Kelsey Skinner. She's been a member of our organization for actually quite a few years before I got here. Firefighter, AEMT. She's real big on hazmat training. Right, does a lot of hazmat training. She actually does a lot of hazmat training out of state. Fills shifts for us as a firefighter and AEMT, and just a real go-getter, and we're really proud to have her. She's a great employee. She's
important. All right, very good.
I love the picture. Thank you. I'm going to kind of go through it. One thing that I found in meeting is, you know, we want to make sure we get information out to the board that they want. I spoke to Ms. Ashton about it because it can seem like there's no information, but I want to make sure that each board member let you know if there's something you'd like to get reports on, you'd like to get them out to you, or the board as a whole, right, from the different chiefs or myself. Just so that we can shorten the chief's report, right, and also make it a little more accurate, right? But Bailey, I'm going to go over our daily operations. That's our 24/7 response, right? Four firefighters, 7 to 10. That's our engine over there. Our staff that's here every day, trying to get, you know, get to everybody 3 and 4 minutes. All that's going very well. Also, our EMT, our EMTB training. We have an EMT training center. Ms. Homer is the chief over that. They have an EMTB class in progress now. That's why you see all the cars here. That's progressing well.
How many people do you have in the class?
I think it's 18.
18. Mm-hmm.
Again, I can have a different report by tomorrow, but I believe it's 18.
Okay.
And that's one another one of our revenue programs. Right? So we have an accredited training center. They're allowed to apply for the class, get in, right? And then they pay, I don't know what it is, but for the training. So it's a really good program. It's kind of one of our revenue programs, and we love putting them in training. Another real big point here, which is really great. So tomorrow, Friday, we have 8 interns. Well, I spoke to the interns before. They're certified firefighters who either come out of academy or out of school. And we have an agreement with Dixie Tech. When they graduate academy, they promote our program. They come over here, right? They get interviewed, tested, physical, all that stuff, just like if you're trying to apply for a job, because they are. And we're onboarding 8 interns for the first time with our agreement with Dixie Tech. They'll do 2 academies a year, right? So we're looking at somewhere around 8 to 10 per academy. So if you look at that, that's pretty good. 16-20 for the year. We don't have to put on an academy to get these people, right? That's what that Dixie Tech's doing now. So this is a really good agreement with that. Why do we do that? They get a task book they got to complete. They get an internship with our organization. They can come work shifts. They have to work 2 shifts a month, right, to meet the criteria. And then they've got to go through their task book. And they've got a certain number of time to do that. But what? First, they get a benefit by getting to work shifts, being with training officers, getting to work through their task book. But also, the district gets the benefit because we pay them a stipend of $100 a shift. They're already certified firefighters to staff our agent. And we try to use that for at least 1 to 2 positions a day. Right? Third, when we talk about the wildland thing, we look at our board here. I think this is huge. And Chief Cox has been sending you reports. One thing you can also let Chief Cox know when you get that report, if there's something different you want to see, something you want to focus on, he'd be glad to do it, right? But we have our 3 brush trucks deployed. We have our ramp team deployed, and we have our ambulance deployed. And this is kind of a historical moment for us. This is a big deal, right? When we look at what does that look like in numbers, it looks like 450,000. 50% will come to us at the police in their 2-week rolls, right? Just to put it in a little general. You always got to look at it like a 50-50, right? And that, I believe, is somewhere around 18 personnel. What everybody understands in Utah right now with our fire season, which is absolutely disastrous, all of our crews are operating in Utah. So generally, we would settle across the United States. Our state is in such a need that all of our crews are operating in Utah. So that's good. What does it mean? What does it look like when we have all these numbers and they're getting confusing? And of course, you're trying to clarify that. We're looking at these revenues and these things come in and you get your DNR invoice report right. What it means is with the units we have out, with the invoices we have in, with the invoices we're going to be putting in, because a couple of these return, I think the ambulance returns either today or tomorrow, that's 7/16. Well, they got extended, so they'll be on those 7 days. We expect to hit approved invoices to hit our 1.6 million mark or more. And that's really important for our organization because that is the number that our wildland program had to deploy at. For us to be in our budgetary. So that's a huge deal. That's where the fire chief goes, we did it. You know, we don't do it, it's bad, right? So we got that done. So basically everything's going well. I do want to say this to the board and have it on public record that the Cottonwood fire, I was recently getting some insurance news on that. There were quite a few residents. I think there was 186 structures destroyed. Right, there was quite a few residents who got their insurance canceled in May. right? So they're all taking the loss. I think in the report it was one lady, she had 7 different condos at Airbnbs. She lost her insurance, they're gone. So when we look at what we're doing with fireworks, we look at what we're doing with our department, we look at, we really, with, I know we run calls, that's important, we do that stuff. But the big thing is keeping our community as best we can. We don't know how to even call yet. To have the opportunity for insurance, right? I'm not saying cheap insurance. I'm saying do have the ability to be insured, right? That's where all these things come together. And the acreage burned in Utah, that fire being the most destructive fire in Utah history, we understand how insurance companies are going to start looking at this, right, in this state. And we are in a high-risk area. It's not something that we can do a lot about. The lawmakers will be doing that. But as far as our fire department, what we do in our community and our firewise, and get people to have their lot assessments and getting them to prepare their property, all this is very important when it comes down to what is it in the future that we don't know that's going to be the criteria that are going to keep insurance companies insuring our properties, right? Because our values are in our homes. That's our lives, that's our homes. Mine too, right? If we can't insure a home that has no value. And so the fire department, the fire chief is very focused, way past running the calls, which we do, but to focus on this insurance problem. Like I said, Kurt Shelley's here, he's, the CFC's focused on it too. They've kind of taken over the insurability committee, and I'm sure they're going to put out stuff, but we're kind of waiting to see where the chips are going to fall, because we are in July, we are in mid-July. Our fire season doesn't end until September, generally. Starts to move, so we're pretty focused on trying to keep the acreage down. But right now, the state of Utah is in a losing fight when it comes to acreage and what's going on. Right? So, I want to leave a positive note though. I don't want everybody to be scared about that. If you guys have a 24/7 fire department here, you got a staff to be here in 3 minutes, we're going to knock the crap out of it when we get there, right? We're going to try to keep that acreage low. We're pushing our firewise, we're pushing our prevention, we've got our chipper, we're going to push that stuff, right? And as the community comes together and gets all that done, and we continue to do the best we can, I truly believe that when insurance adjusters come here and look at what we've done as a community, look at what we have for protection, we're going to be in the best position. Yeah, thank you. I have to get to my birthday dinner. Thank you,
Chief.
Thank you,
all
right. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Have a good evening. Let's see here. Number 13, public comment expanded to any relevant Cameron Valley Fire Rescue topic. Discuss and vote. Is that, we are going to discuss and vote on this getting.
Right, like changed. Changing, right, yeah, changing your policy.
Yeah.
Okay. Olivia Anderson, I think I know that Pat said, you know, that the business meeting is where we can have a town hall, and I would say a business meeting is where we can have comment. A town hall, there's a reason why there's town halls, so that people can freely speak and for longer or for whatever. It's just a different format. It serves a different purpose. But if we're going to lump the two in together, we have to make a distinction. Or would you like to make a distinction, you know, between that? Like, we're going to have some sort of rules, so it's not going to be a town hall if we're going to have a time limit or what. So I guess that's the main things to vote on or consider. Or we're going to allow whatever topic your heart desires and then unlimited amount of time or a certain amount of time.
How do they do that in the county? As far as time limits when people stand up and
there's like in the planning commission, yeah. It's kind of twofold because they allow people to present the subject or the topic.
Right.
They allow people to comment, and then the people who are encouraging the topic or, you know, like pro that topic, then they can get up and talk, and then but people are allowed to comment again. So we don't have that. Like, if in my opinion, like this, the structure of it is just comments at the end. It can't affect any change. We already voted for everything. The public just gets to know, hey, this is what we voted for. What do you think? And I think it's irrelevant. It doesn't, it's lip service. So if we have, so that's why I think that was why I think that a town hall would be could be productive. I understand people are, you know, can be upset and all of that, but I mean, so what? They're going to get glad in the same pants they got mad in. So it's, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about having public comment and changing that.
So what do you think the time limit should be if we have it here in this board of the commission?
A business meeting should have a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
So period.
What do you think might be the adequate amount of time for people to have to express their opinion?
I think the problem comment is just stating something.
Yes.
Like leaving a review online or something. That's it. You don't get back and forth. So dialogue or discussing it or something like that, that's different. And that can take more time. So I don't need to be splitting hairs here, but no. It's, you know, like that. I don't believe that having a discussion is necessarily during the comment section of the meeting.
Well,
what do you think, Al?
My opinion kind of is like, a lot of the topics that we vote on and discuss are things that are kind of drug along, you know, been going on and on and on. And
right.
If people aren't here every month to hear the discussion on these different topics, then they kind of jump in at one point, and then you got to kind of rehash something that we've been talking about for months or even years, you know, to get someone up to speed, you know.
Well, and they're not even privy to it all because there's the back emails between the board and all of our exchanges that are completely off record. So
that's where I think it might be kind of hard to, you know, keep it rolling. But, you know, I'm not opposed to, like, you know, like making 3 minutes or 4 minutes, 5 minutes of comments.
I mean, I think 2 minutes is fine, but I would say they can present what they have to say in 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then it'd be up to the board or the chairman decide, is there any further discussion?
Yeah, to have a dialogue on that topic.
Is there a dialogue on that topic or not? And then we can decide if that's something that, as a board, we want to discuss at that time or not. And then we can choose to do so, and then you can spend the time that you need if that's what you want to do.
Yeah.
And it may be something that we have to do research on or something before we discuss or whatever the case may be. But I think that then, you know, keeps somebody from doing a 30-minute presentation.
Yeah.
But you know, hopefully get their comments concise, and then we can decide if it's something relevant or not.
Yeah, and I like that, Cameron.
Me too.
Because then that gives an opportunity for dialogue. And then, obviously, if it's something that we're not, like you say, if we have to do research and we're not prepared to discuss it at that time, I guess we could put it on
next month's agenda.
I think that's what do you think? I think that's a great way.
That's great. I think it's a great combination of both.
Yes.
Right.
I think that's important because everyone needs to be able to have it. This is our community as a community, and they need to feel like everyone's being heard, you know, but without mayhem and in a structured way, right? So what do we want to propose to do related to that?
Well, I mean,
I just say it's a public discussion period.
Yeah.
Residents will be allowed to make up to a 2-minute presentation, after which the board can then decide if it warrants further discussion or not.
Yeah.
Would be how I would word it.
The only thing I would say is that the board can just say, like, I mean, like Pat has said before, we can choose to answer the question or not, or comment or not.
Right.
And so I would say if the resident would like, or the commentator would like to have more of a discussion, then are we obligated to entertain that or not? Or we just say as a board, like, no, we're not going to talk about that anymore.
I mean, that's what I say. I mean, the chairman can say any comments from... comments or response from the board, and if nobody has any response or further discussion, then we move on to the next
resident. We can address it individually as board members during that time period, and then if it's something that needs more research, because something we really need to look into, then we
we can make that as well, and you can make that motion.
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So do we need to vote on that or anything? We just have it in the minutes.
Well, I think
somebody needs to go currently over. Currently a policy. I think we voted on that.
Yeah.
At some point.
We did. Yeah.
So we probably need to amend that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so too, because we should have something in writing to have a policy to vote on. Yeah, so we can.
And we already have one, so we need to amend that policy.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that amendment, Kim, or do you want to?
Let me when I do the minutes, mm-hmm. then it, because the AI, the program will summarize it,
right.
And so we can have. I'll do that, and then you know Pat is a wordsmith, so then he can have a tackle at that too, and then. Yeah. We can pass
presented
it around
it,
and then
it at next board meeting
vote. Yeah.
And make a vote. I think
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
All right. So we'll look at getting that voted on next month. Something in writing that we can vote on. All right. So, okay. Any other items that we would like to discuss here tonight? Leah?
No, sir.
Kim?
Yeah. I'm good.
Okay. Alan Burns, I'm good also. Okay. On to public comment. And we're still adhering to the guidelines of please step up to the podium, be recognized by the chair, state your name for the record. Maximum of 2 minutes for comments to the board. Comments should be specific to the agenda items. Comments do not require a response from the board. Questions for the board or fire chief can be addressed prior to or after meetings with the chief at the fire station during his regular business hours or by appointment. The board members may be contacted in person via the Dameron Valley Fire Rescue email or by phone or text message. Let's see here. So any public comments?
Mark Tallahassee, how come I can never follow the treasurer's report? He says numbers, they're not on that paper. He starts throwing numbers out and they are not written down on that paper. And I see totals that don't total.
I think he's working with more current numbers than what, because this stuff.
Well, then why put up the ones that are not current? What's the point of discussing something if you can't see it?
Well, those are numbers as of 30 June.
Okay.
That's what he's got to do report wise. It's not up to
up
to the 17th or 16th of July, whatever the date is.
The last month it wasn't up either. They were all, I couldn't follow any numbers saying this is this. I don't see any of the numbers. I see some. Some are on there and some aren't. So either do it a month late, so at least it makes sense to maybe us poor people don't understand how to do accounting.
Yeah.
But
it's fluid. You know,
I know it's fluid. It's irrelevant. Fluid. Yes. It's still accounts receivable, yeah. Accounts payable, and totals.
Especially with it. One of the checks came in today, and some of it we can't get it real time, but it is. And so you see the trends, and you see how much outstanding money is.
It's fine. I'm all for that. Accounts payable, accounts payable. But math is math. It needs to add up.
Yeah.
Raising your limit from 3 to 4 is going to cost you another $2,000 a month for outstanding debt. No big deal, I guess. You know, but that's fine too. I just want to know why the math never adds up. Either put the old one up and talk about it, or put a new one up. If he has numbers, why isn't the new one up?
Yeah.
It's fluid, but. You know, accounts receivable, accounts payable.
Yeah.
It's all accounting, it's all math.
Well, I will address one thing on the, because I was like, I've been in business for myself my whole life. I've had to deal with bank credit lines in the past, and a lot of times even the banks will look at loaning things that need to be done. Payroll obviously needs to be met, and there are situations sometimes where you need to dip into a line of credit. The thing that makes this, and that's something for me, you know, as a board member, because we have financial responsibility to sort of oversee what's going on with the department, but the nature of what we have and where the monies are coming from are very secure because it's coming from the DNR. mostly in a lot of times when you have accounts receivable, some of them can take months and months depending on what type of businesses you're dealing with, right?
Yeah.
And so the lifeblood, and I'm looking at it the long term because I was really a little bit hesitant myself even in the beginning, but now the nature of what's going on and the board actually was brought up to speed on this through Chief Hunter and we had a discussion on it individually, but is that in the old days, sometimes some of the people that were out of employment were actually willing to get paid once the money came into us, you know, but it doesn't work that way anymore. There's a lot of different competition out there related to different things, and so obviously from a cash flow point of view, even though this isn't technically a business, it still works like a business. Without that credit line, and actually Affinity HR, who offered that credit line increase at a reasonable fee of 6%, which is, if you've been in business for yourself, you know, for a revolving line of credit, that's a really good interest rate.
6.5% a month.
Yeah, exactly. And so they wouldn't loan it unless they knew those funds were secure.
Sure, I know that.
Yeah.
That's not the point.
And so then the one question I had related to it too, which is very important, that if for some reason we were to maybe even hold back deployments and wait for the monies to come in, then by that time, you know, the deployments that are essential to help, you know, the wildfire situation, especially. And it was news to me that all of our crews are actually in the state of Utah right now. If they're not able to go out to deployment, they're not helping the situation. And also, then we're sort of out of the loop for being able to provide those services in order and to be billed with revenues that are going to be coming in. For me as a resident, and even when I was first, I had an interview with the county, with the county attorney and the head county administrator. I wasn't appointed or anything like that. And the two main things where they were at is we don't want to see people's fees go up. We want things to be financially responsible, responsible, fiscally responsible, and we want to make sure that your area has an adequate amount of public safety, which we do both. And so, the goal is for our fees not to go up. I can't speak on behalf of the department, but at the same time, with this blessing that we have, that's the way I look at it, with the way they put this together for us to even generate this kind of revenue on the wildfire side is phenomenal. And it would be, in a perfect world, it would be sort of neat someday if we got to the point where, and I'm not sure that we have it cheap, and different things change, expenses change, but or we can be in a situation where we definitely don't raise the fees, and maybe we can even lower them, right? I mean, that would be my ultimate, wish and prayer for the valley, as well as having the amount of public safety and everybody working together for that common goal. So from a business point of view, that line of credit is essential, But it can't be just an open blank check either to continue to, go to the point where there's not some brakes that need to be put on. And then at the end of the day, that's what we're here for, But I really appreciate your input.
Well, Chief Reaper tells us all the time how much money he makes.
Yeah.
We seem to be raising credit limits.
Counterproductive. Yeah.
So after 1.6, everything's golden after that. So
yeah.
Why don't we have a $400,000
surplus? Yeah.
Surplus.
Flush fund.
That happens August 1st.
That,
four months.
Yes, and that is the goal.
Surplus.
That is the goal. And with the increased amount of business and billing that's been done and those monies that are coming in, aside from a little bit of, some interest payment based on the 6% of the amount of time that money's being floated, right? We're going to be in a lot better position next year in having those, he wants a slush fund. And so this is really going to be a good thing for us. But I, just like you, I was, okay, I'm going to find out how good is the DNR and, where are these sources coming in from and, are the funds going to come in? And so we're obviously, all of us, when are working together on our concern with that, but we're really thankful and so far, pretty encouraged by you know, everything that was put in place before I was on the board to where we're at this point right now. So, but it is, you know, it's not going to be, you know, something's going to be used to go out and buy a bunch of shiny new toys and stuff like that.
So, but I understand. It's 90 days. It's
yeah.
Everything's 90 days
yeah.
behind.
Yeah, and that's about it.
That's business.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's good. You can contact Pat, too, at any time. I mean, I know he's out of town right now, but
yeah.
he could explain some
yeah.
of that stuff for you.
I know he helps us. Hot, and I can't understand it.
Well, yeah.
That's why I had the questions that I had earlier, as
yeah.
far as where we were at right now.
Yeah.
I mean, our primary function as a board member is a fiduciary responsibility of the organization, and hence to the residents of Danvern Valley. So, before we increase our line of credit, you want to make sure that you're on sound ground. And that's why, at the current moment, with what we have deployed, it sounds like we have probably at least, we'll have at least $600,000 in accounts receivable, and we probably have $300 to $400 in liability. So that puts us $200,000 ahead at the moment, which is a lot further ahead than the department's ever been.
3%
he goes
over 50% profit on it, but
yeah, and that
don't
and
quite
the,
see it.
Yeah, 50%, and that might not be. He's you know that's what
not,
he's shooting
pretty,
for.
It's probably
pretty
low.
Yeah,
pretty shiny.
Yeah,
50%.
But they'll definitely be in the plus, but it's
mm-hmm.
not. It may not be to that amount. So you know, so I understand. I hear what you're saying.
I hear what you said.
Yeah.
I see reality.
Yeah, but any dollar that they earn over what they spend is $1 less residents of Danvern Valley have to pay for their fire service.
Right. Thank
you.
Thanks for that question.
Any other comments?
Sarah Haney Morrison. First of all, I just want to say thank you very much for this discussion. It's very helpful, very open, very much appreciated. My concern is just the line of credit for the same reasons this gentleman has just expressed. But my concern is more, and I also manage a business, and so I'm familiar with the necessity of lines of credit and why it's important, and you have to need cash flow. The concern I have with this is that, and I've not heard this discussed previously, is that should the DV, the Danvern Valley Fire District default, then the residents of this community are responsible to pay that difference. That's my understanding from the state. The state doesn't step in, the county doesn't step in, the federal government any default is absorbed by all of the residents. So, and I appreciate hearing from each of you on your commitment to watching this and keeping control over those monies and monitoring it carefully, because that's a significant hit for the residents of Danvern Valley. We can't rely on the rest of the residents up and down 18. It falls strictly on Danvern Valley.
And
that's what's frustrating.
Yeah. No, that's good. In the past, it's been disproportionate, too, you know. But,
right.
And so this is why I'm with you on that, too. Even originally when we, needed to get the fire department up to speed with just having, you know, bringing on paid firefighters and having continuity of everything, which was not going to continue to happen on the volunteer side, was getting equipment up to speed, the extra fees that the residents were assessed, right? Myself, we have three separate lots and ones that don't have structures on them, and you're still getting charged, you know, I mean, each thing on those times, which was a bit of a burden for us too, but at the same time, you know, that's why I like the trend where things are going aside from going, you know, just like we were talking about. We want to get to the point where we're not going to get ahead of ourselves because no one's going to bail us out. You know, they won't. It happened to the fire district over in Hurricane. But the people that are in place and the generation that we have, and there are other departments that are looking at what we have just accomplished due to what some of the previous boards had done to support this department and getting to the point where the wildland fire program isn't where it is right now. And they're looking for ways to get in the game to generate monies for their districts too, right? But there does need to be, you know, we need to be fiscally responsible as we, you know, sort of get to different levels. And there might be a time, too, where we get to the point where, okay, this is good, this is what our department can handle, and, you know, sort of have a discussion or with what's going on with the department on, you know, okay, this is fine, we're generating these monies now, we have money in the coffers, you know, we're not having to dip into credit lines because we have enough of a slush fund, and, you know, and what the needs of the department are, and maybe get it to the point where, you know, like I say, for me, my ultimate goal, and I think it is for a lot of the board, is for maybe even those fees to potentially go down someday, but I'm not saying they will, and it's just, and but also at the same time, we share your concerns. And that's one reason why I even, you know, put myself out there to meet with the county or to interview with the county to become a part of this board at this very time. You know, so thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay. Let's see. Can I have a motion to adjourn this meeting?
Olivia Anderson, I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, meeting adjourned.
7:56.